Good morning, church. Good morning, Grace Christian Center family, and any others who have chosen to join our Sunday morning live stream service. Today is April 26th, 2020, and we terribly miss meeting you in person. We are thrilled to have you join us via live stream, which we are doing from our home today. Welcome to Couch Church, Pajama Church, Coffee Church. We have four kids and a dog. We've asked them all to be quiet, but there are no guarantees.
This is true. Want to just point out that in some of our stream testing this morning, we noticed that there was a flicker on the screen. And so if you're seeing that, just know that it's not you, it's us. And so we're not really sure exactly what it is, but we were seeing the flicker during the stream. So if you're seeing that as well, I don't try to fix it. I think it's on our end. But like you said, Becca, welcome to our home and welcome to coffee with the Teeleys. So this morning, we're going to share a little bit and Becca's going to share some, and we have some discussion questions. And the format for today is going to be more of a discussion. Is that okay? Is it okay if we strike a dialogue between each other and invite you into that as well? Want to have a conversation around some items that the Lord has been sharing with Becca and with me as well. And so, welcome to the discussion, Becca. What's on your mind? What are you feeling?
Well, lately I found myself with a bit of a perspective issue. I was recently putting together a puzzle because stay at home order. What else are you going to do? And, I had the outside was done and I had a section in the middle where I had all the right pieces for that circle and I fit those all together, but I stood and looked at the puzzle and I couldn't figure out how it fit into the overall. It turned out that when I shifted things just slightly, then it was in its rightful place and it made sense. It took a shift in the perspective to make me see the possibility of it being able to fit. And I think that sometimes life is like that. We know the goodness of God and we have a heart to know his plan. Sometimes we struggle to receive from him. And we also struggle to be patient in waiting on the completion of the whole picture. I think it's time for a shift in perspective from a natural perspective to a supernatural one. Now, who in the Bible had to trust God because they couldn't see the whole picture? Pretty much everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Certain examples come to mind. You know, David was chosen to be king. And if you chose the natural perspective, you would probably have said, yeah, right. This kid doesn't have any skills. He's not a leader. There's no way he's going to be able to be king of a country. And so if you took the supernatural perspective, then you could see what God saw when he chose David to walk out the plan that he had for his life. He provided for them everything that he needed right when he needed it. Did David mess up? Yep, he sure did. He was human just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But he trusted God's plan and he yielded to his voice. David had to trust the sufficiency of God. You know, there are many times when we feel in our hearts that we are deficient in certain areas. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned the feeling of being deficient at times. And that really causes me to think about our own church, our own church family. Grace Christian Center and the founding principle, one of the founding principles for Grace Christian Center is obviously the grace of God, his grace. And sort of our chosen scripture that we've been using for years and years, and it's been tattooed and branded on my heart, has been 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He's talking about God providing you sufficiency, God giving you sufficiency. And so for those that feel deficient, there are those that feel that their lot right now might be having all deficiency in all things. And we're really here right now to silence those words, to eliminate that mindset, to help eliminate that mindset that you might have, because God has not come to us to provide you deficiency in anything, but to provide you grace and sufficiency in all things, so that you can do what? That you can abound in everything. And you know, the scripture says that God has given you all grace. And how much grace would I like? I would like all of it, please.
For sure.
Thank you.
That's a good thought. All of it. We'll take all of it. Because God is God of everything, right? He's got it all. He has all the answers. There's never a shortage in him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in 12, verse 7, it says that Paul was hindered by a thorn in his flesh. Now, you know, we read a lot about the Apostle Paul in the Gospels, and he in the New Testament, and he has a lot of good advice and a lot of examples of real life, right? And so it says that he had a thorn in his flesh. Now, it doesn't say exactly what it was, but it says in verse 8 that he pleaded with the Lord to relieve him of this thorn. In verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that God answered him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation, which says, "My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weakness, and for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me." Now, the word there for rest upon, or the Christ living in you, it literally means to dwell in a pitched tent. God takes up residence on the inside of us, and he provides the power that we need to be strong in our human weaknesses. Now, here's the revelation that I really want you to grab onto today. There are two ways to relieve a burden. Now, the first one is to remove the load. That sounds pretty, you know, regular and natural, right? The second way is to strengthen the vessel which is holding the load. That sounds supernatural, right? And so last month we sold our house. We moved an awful lot of things. Now, I could try to move a couch by myself. I don't want to. It obviously is a much more a better idea to team lift, to have someone help you move the big things, because that's how you're able to handle it. So I'm going to say that principle one more time. You can remove the load, or you can strengthen the vessel holding the load. So the second one is what God did here with Paul. Instead of taking the load, he said, "I recognize that you can't do it yourself, and that you need a demonstration of the dunamis power of God." And so God partnered with Paul to make him strong enough to stand against the thorn. Now, the verse says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, the word "is" means currently, still happening, right now, available today, tomorrow. And that requires faith, right? Because for you to believe that God can do it right now, that his grace is sufficient, that he can take care of you in the moment, and that what he's going to do to take care of you is enough, that takes faith.
Yeah. So you mentioned strengthening the vessel. That causes me to think, what are some ways, or what is a way that us, the vessel, is strengthened? And it really is by exercising our faith. And what's interesting about faith is that it's twofold. So the first component of faith is accepting and believing that God is not only able, I mean, you have to believe that he's able to perform his promises regarding you and me. So that's the first step, is believing, really believing that he is able to perform his promises regarding you, towards you and me. But it's also believing that he's willing, that God is able and willing to perform his promises for you and for me. And the second component to faith is, you know, the Bible says that faith without works is what?
Dead.
It's dead. Faith without works is dead. So the characteristic of faith is that it implies and inspires action. It's not faith without action, right? You know, when we were working for Norval Hazen at the ministry, I remember him saying, when does faith become faith? The answer is when you do it. Mm-hmm. Faith becomes faith when you do it. So to strengthen, the way in which we strengthen, or God strengthens our vessel, is by helping us exercise our faith. So it's coming to the realization and accepting that God is willing and able to perform his promises towards you and towards me. And then also understanding, what role do I have to play? Because faith without works is dead. So that means that I have something to do. We have a part to play. We have a role to play in this believing that God is willing and able to work on your behalf or on our behalf.
Absolutely. The second part of the verse says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, the dunamis power of God adds what is lacking to render a thing full and complete in our weakness. Now, weakness in that verse means the ability of our soul to bear the trials and the troubles, right? Everyone, we're human. So we are, as human, we're going to feel those things. We're going to feel depression. We're going to feel anxiety. We're going to feel fear, right? Those are natural things that happened in our natural existence. But God, he provides the power that adds what we need to bear the trials and the troubles of this life. Now, we started talking about perspective, natural versus supernatural.
Yeah.
Do you think perspective really matters?
Yeah, I think perspective probably matters a far greater deal than what we realize. I think perspective matters most. If you remember in middle school or maybe even high school, maybe in art class, there were these drawings, these pictures, and there were like two pictures in one. I remember one that was, when you looked at it, some people saw an elderly woman wearing a shawl over her head. But there were other people that saw a young girl, but it was the same picture. But it was all a matter of perspective, right? Depending on what you saw. And that's sort of what this reminds me of. I think that one of the things I'd like to do is to challenge all of us, ourselves included, to look at the different areas of our life. Maybe you own a business, maybe you're an employee in a business, to look at your church life, look at your family life, if you're a parent or a grandparent, a brother or a sister, if you're involved in the community, or you have other hobbies or groups that you're a member of. But the challenge is to identify your perspective within those different areas of your life, personal, professional, family, church, faith. And you should be able to identify individuals in those different categories of your life whose opinions and perspectives of you really matter. And I'll give you, here's a gimme, is, you know, our pastors are one, right? So our pastors are ones in our different areas of our life whose opinions and perspectives for us really matter, right? So that's a freebie for you right there. But we should be able to identify others as well. And if you come across a certain category, area of your life, maybe business or professional, and it's difficult for you to identify an individual whose perspective or opinion really matters for you, then that's what we call an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to really show up and provide that sufficiency for you in that area, to provide those individuals. Because this really is a time, this time of isolation, so to speak, that we're in, this is an opportunity for God to firm up and expand our connections, firm up and expand our community, not to cause it to shrink. I think the challenge is that people would see that their connections wither, their community shrink. And God is saying, no. This is a time where I'm going to expand your connections, your area of influence. He's looking to increase the number of your connections, increase our community, not to see it wither and shrink. This is the great opportunity that you have, that we have together as well. So yeah, I think perspective matters most, right? Some people see opportunity in the picture. Other people see obstacle in the picture. I challenge you to see opportunity.
I think that's good. And I think also we need to consider actually writing out a list. Make yourself a list of the people whose perspectives in your life matter, the people whose perspectives add value to your life, the people whose perspectives speak life to you. And I think the amazing thing about being in the year 2020 is this wonderful technology that we have access to, right? So if I want to watch the Glasgow Prophetic Center in Scotland for their every weekday, they've been doing a power hour, if you're English like us, which they're English anyway. Which I've really enjoyed that voice speaking into my life. Now, I think on this other hand, you can make a list of the perspectives you need to avoid. The perspectives that have no right to be impressing their voice upon you, like the media, or maybe there are certain people that are just not healthy for you to be around because of the things that they say, or the values they represent, or the perspectives that they have.
That's good. Yeah. Not everyone has the right to speak into your life. Not everyone has the right to influence you. Yeah. Right, you hold the authority. God has given you the authority to allow ones into your life, right? And so we believe God is giving us the wisdom, and connecting us with the people that we need to be connected with as well in this time.
Now, can you give us a couple of examples of maybe the way that in our own family we've seen a perspective shift kind of change things?
I think I have probably two examples of where I see that perspective shift for us and our family. One being us as parents, our kids are obviously getting older, right? So they're heading into those teenage years. And the challenge is really with technology. Today, technology and the digitalization of everything. everything is digital, and social media permeates their culture so much. And this digital era that we're in, it changes so quickly, it changes so rapidly, it's almost impossible to keep up with. And us as parents, it can almost cause us as parents to feel almost helpless, that we can't keep up with it. And
or
so
overwhelmed is a good word.
Yeah. Or overwhelmed. That's a good way to put it. And so the challenge is to just avoid it, avoid all technology, avoid all social media in an attempt to protect our family and protect our children. So that is one perspective. That is a perspective. It's not one that we've chosen to adopt, though. So we choose to see an opportunity in this era of digitalization and rapidly changing technology and social media. And so we've chosen to seek the Lord and follow His voice and wisdom in introducing, you know, our children to technology and social media in a controlled manner, because we do believe that these are opportunities for us as parents to connect with our kids. You can connect as grandparents with your grandchildren. You can connect as parents with your kids over digital media as well. It doesn't have to separate you. It can help bring you together and enhance community as well, right? And so we've chosen that perspective, and we seek the mind of the Lord for our kids in that manner as well.
Well, I think also we've done one other thing is do a little bit of like an old school throwback, like a landline and board games. Like you can do the activities of the past and still be in the future. I think that's important too.
Yeah, that is true. And the second way in which I've seen our perspective shift, just for us as a couple and within our family, is this survival mentality, which is very close to a poverty mentality. Some people would call it a spirit of poverty or a spirit of survival. And so we've lived in that space. We lived in that space for a long time. And that was a mentality that I struggled with for a number of years. And God has, we've allowed, I want to be careful in how I say it, because the reality is that we've submitted to God's process, that we've allowed him to shift us out of a poverty mentality. We've allowed him to shift us out of a survival mentality and into a mentality that we are his sons and daughters, that we are his children, and that we believe his word and his promise, that it is his great pleasure to provide wonderful opportunities for us, to provide prosperity for our family, so that we can share that with all of those that we're connected to, you know, by blood and by marriage and adoption and so on and so forth, right? And so this survival mentality, if you think about your body, when you face an emergency, right, your body goes into a fight or flight, which means that your body releases adrenaline, which is the fight or flight response. That is your body's emergency response action. Your body was never designed to live in a constant state of hypervigilance. It just wasn't made that way, right? That's an emergency management response that God had designed in our own bodies to protect us, right? So if you think about the survival mentality, the poverty mentality, just living in a constant state of survival, where you don't have an opportunity to dream. You're not taking time to proclaim his promises, that you think that his promises of prosperity and provision and sufficiency are so far removed from you, or you don't deserve them. And that is the voice that we come against. That is the mentality that we pull down. And we replace it. We put on the garment of sufficiency. We put on the garment of praise, and put on the garment of grace, right? We submit to God's process to remove you from a survival mentality, to remove you from a poverty mentality, and allow him to pull you into his prosperity. Allow him to pull you into his provision. Allow him to pull you into his sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work, because that's his desire for you and for us. And we see that play out in our life right now. And it's so encouraging to be a part of that, and to see that happening in our family, to see it happening in many of you as well. And that is our desire for you today, is that in this challenging time that we are in, because it is a challenging time, that God's desire is to prosper his church, is to prosper all of you, in the midst of these challenging times, right? It seems difficult to believe. It seems difficult to accept. But this is what he has for you and I, is to prosper us in these times. And it seems counterintuitive, but that is the way that he works. And I was thinking about opportunity and what opportunity actually looks like. You know, opportunity looks like narrow places, right? Because if you want to paint a picture to see what it looks like, opportunity shows up in the form of difficult decisions. Opportunity shows up in the form of challenging times, right? Opportunity shows up in the form of narrow places, or low bank accounts, or layoffs. Opportunity shows up in job losses, yeah. Right? And these are real things. Opportunity shows up in battling physical pain or infirmity in your body, right?
It's true.
So these things show up, and we face these items every single day. And we can have the perspective of these are just items that we have to deal with, that we're just going to make it through. Or we can allow God to shift our perspective and see opportunity for the miraculous and the supernatural in the midst of difficult times, narrow spaces, or even suffering, right? There's a lot of people that are suffering in these times, but God has a promise for you and for them. And it is to perform the miraculous in your life, to perform the supernatural in your life. So if you see challenges, if you see narrow places, if you see obstacles, choose to allow God to shift your perspective to see his opportunities in those areas. So I think in this moment, we're gonna pray and declare and decree his grace and sufficiency for you, for your family, for your household, for your business as well, and believe for the miraculous working in your life, that God is gonna continue to increase your connections, that he's gonna continue to connect you with the people that you need to be connected to. And there's other people that need to be connected to you as well. And you need to be open to that as well, right? There's all kinds of peculiar people out there that God has a relationship destined for you, right? So Lord, we just thank you that you are one that is shifting our perspective. Lord, that we can, it's like looking at that same picture, but we see it in a different way, right? Some people are seeing that the elderly woman with the shawl, but we want you to help shift our perspective to see that young girl in the same picture, right? In the same situation. So we see opportunities for the miraculous in difficult times, in challenging times, that when our cash flow is low, or our retirement account or 401k has taken a major hit, Lord, that we see opportunity for provision and prosperity in unexpected ways. And we are ready and willing and prepared to also to become that miracle, to become the instrument of the miraculous in other people's lives as well. Lord, we are willing to be instruments of your miraculous and your supernatural. And I declare and decree a loosening of a breaking of chains and loosening of bonds of poverty and a struggling and survival mentality. Yes. And we allow you to pull us into your prosperity. We allow you to pull us into your provision in all areas of our life. Lord, you said that you would have us to prosper and be in health, to be in health and not just physical health, to prosper and be in health in all areas of our lives, all relationships that we have, that you would have us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And so we seek the prosperity of our soul. That is to seek you. To seek you, Lord, and we see you in these challenging times, and we call you our provider. We call you our healer. We call you our counselor. We call you our friend. Lord, we see your mighty hand working and moving and doing the miraculous and doing the impossible in these days, Lord. And we strike down fear. Fear is a virus. Fear is something that spreads like a virus. And we stop that right now in this moment. There is no place for fear in your body. There is no place for fear in your household if you're listening to this right now. Because the Lord says that perfect love casts out fear. And if you have accepted Christ, if you are a child of God, then his love is working in and through you. And it drives out all fear. So there is no room for fear in your household. There is no room for fear in your business. If you're an employee, there is no room for fear. God has provision and substance for you. He has the miraculous for you. It is our job to receive it. Lord, so we do receive it. That faith without works is dead. So what role do we have? What role is it that we have to play? What is it that you would have us to do to grab hold and capture the miraculous in our life right now? I just thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we're so grateful for you joining us this morning. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was driving and I passed a church sign, and then the marquee said, "We are closed." And I thought, even if if you cannot meet together, your church is never closed. And that is the same here at our church, Grace Christian Center. You know, we're available for you by phone or text. If there's anything that you need, please let us know. If you'd like to give, because the church does keep on going and still has bills, you can give to us. There's ways in the description box of you can mail, use Cash App, or text to give. And if you have any questions about any of that, please let us know. But we just thank you for joining us. We just bless you today. And we just pray God's brightest, his best, is alive and well in your life this week.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. See you next time.